Blog Talk Radio.
Let's face it, there's a lot you don't know about sickle cell disease.
Like that it affects millions.
People in almost all races.
Black and white.
Indian and Asian.
Hispanic and Mediterranean.
And that it can affect you or someone you love.
No matter where you come from.
Let's face it, there's a lot you don't know about sickle cell disease.
And that's a disease too. Call the 211 info line to learn more.
Good morning, and welcome to the second half of Saturday Mornings with Joy Keyes. I'm your host, Joy Keyes. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. You can follow me on Twitter.com/Joy Keyes, and you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keyes. Also, I'm on Instagram. Yeah, lots of cool pictures. Check me out. Tag me in a photo. You can win a prize. People who follow me know I give away books. I actually do give away things, and you actually get them in the mail. It's not a joke. It's not a scam. Gift cards, iTunes downloads, Amazon, ice cream. This month, actually, I'll be giving away some ice cream because it's National Ice Cream Month. So check, look out for a Ben & Jerry's gift card. Earlier, I spoke to author Kimberly Lawson Rovey, and I'll be giving away a copy of her book, The Prodigal Son. So you want to follow on Twitter, become a fan on Facebook, and definitely tag me on Instagram. Today, just being blessed all around, wonderful actor Charles S. Dutton, he'll be calling in shortly to talk to me about his newest production, The Comeback Dad. It's going to be on Up TV tonight, 8 p.m., 10 p.m. Eastern, and also 12 a.m. So you want to check that out, dealing with some really heavy issues, fathers and daughters, abandonment issues, family, alcoholism, and a wonderful cast he has working with him. Brad James is on there, Loretta Devine. Everybody knows Loretta Devine. The girl is fierce. And Tatiana Ali is working with him. So he's going to be calling in to talk to me about that experience and also just about the rest of his career. If you want to call in, 646-929-0368 is the call-in number. Again, 646-929-0368 is the call-in number. He's been in so many productions. Do you know what your favorite production? You know, he did Rock, the show Rock. You know, some of those were aired live for a couple seasons, I believe. They were aired live, and then the last season was taped. But he started out on stage, and then, you know, he went to TV, and you can't hold him back. He's won several awards. He won, actually, NAACP Image Awards. He's won Emmys. He has done film, TV, stage, you name it. And it's funny because when I see his face, it's like, oh, my God, it's Charles. Oh, I love him. And it doesn't matter what he's doing. It's just like, oh, there he is. You know, it's just a familiar face. And you know he's going to do a great job. Very understated kind of acting, not like, you know, crazy, all over the place, big hyper. He's just kind of quiet. There's been rumblings under there. Why don't you call in 646-929-0368 and let me know, you know, what you think about his acting. Also, have you dealt with any father-daughter issues? Do you know anybody who's dealing with addiction? Alcoholism or drugs, give me a call. Or just also family issues in terms of sibling rivalry, give me a call and talk to me about that. You know, that's not an easy thing to deal with. You love them, but you hate them. They get on your nerves. They ask you for money, maybe a place to stay. And, you know, but then at what point should you cut them off? Should you not talk to them anymore? Should you not give them money anymore? What do you do? You know, and what worse, what if it's not your sibling, it's your parent? You know, your parent might have been on drugs. Your parent might have left you. I don't want to give away all the things in the film, but there's some surprises, actually, that caught me off guard. There's some wonderful scenes. Oh, my God. There's some wonderful scenes between Tatiana Ali and Charles Dutton. And there's, hold on, there's a caller here. Let me see. Good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hi, Joy Keith. I have Charles S. Dutton on the line.
Oh, thank you so much. We're waiting with bated breath to speak to him.
Absolutely. Dutton, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, you've
Hello.
Got him, honey.
Hi. Hi, thank you, Charles.
Hi.
Thank you for calling in today.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, I feel so blessed to hear your voice on the other line. You have done so much wonderful work over the years. And I was just telling the audience how when I see your face, I'm like, oh, my God, there's that guy. I love him.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Nice to be loved.
Yes. Well, you're doing a great job with this new TV show or movie, I should say, made-for-TV movie, Comeback Dad. You're dealing with some seriously heavy issues with a wonderful cast. How did you get this role? Did you seek them out? Did they call you? How did you get involved with Comeback Dad?
Well, there was a production company in Atlanta called Swirl Productions, and a friend of mine had worked with them before, and he called me and said that they were, you know, trying to get a hold of me to possibly do a film. And I thought, I don't feel like doing anything right now. You know, they said, well, why don't you just get the script? And I was like, I don't want the script. I don't feel like reading it. But it's a friend of mine I respect, you know, a really good friend, but the actor Clifton Powell.
Oh, yeah.
So I said, well, send me the script. And Clifton got in touch with them, and they sent me a script. And as soon as I read it, I said, wow, you know, this is a really, really good story and a really, really good character. So let me jump on this. And so I called the Swirl producers, and they mentioned to me that they had Tatiana Ali and Loretta Devine, who I had just finished working with in a film last year. And
mm-hmm.
So I said, well, this would be nice. It'll be a reunion, so to speak. And then they said they had, you know, Brad James as well, and it's a young actor I really like and admire, very talented young man. So that's how it happened, you know. But it was on the page that is what moved me, you know, to want to do
yeah.
it, you know. And I didn't know the writer. She was a new writer, pretty much. She had written a lot of things, but it was the first thing that was produced. And I just read the script and the story, and I said, yes, it's very timely, pertinent issues, particularly in the African-American community, so I wanted to lend my support.
Definitely it's a pertinent issue, fathers and daughters, abandonment issues, and you guys really do, it's not heavy-handed, and that's what I was talking earlier, your work is not heavy-handed, it's just like a quiet rumbling underneath. Let's talk about some of your training. You went to Yale. Wow. Like,
yeah,
should
we
be bowing?
I went to Yale School of Drama, yeah.
Yes. And, but, I mean, no, I have a theater background, and, you know, you look up to people at Yale. That's like the cream of the crop. But before you were at Yale, many people may not know, you weren't Yale material, if you will. You were dealing with some other issues in your life. Do you mind sharing the story before Yale and what happened?
You know, I mean, for those who don't know, most people know, but for those who don't know or have any idea, I mean, I was a total outlaw before changing my life, you know. I was in and out of prisons and juvenile institutions from 12 years old to 26 years old,
mm-hmm.
you know, between juvenile and adult prisons, from a manslaughter conviction, a robbery conviction, deadly weapon convictions, assault on a correctional officer convictions. So, I raised enough hell in my young days to receive all those prison sentences. And I don't come off like a society, you know, with society's fault and my environment's fault or anything. I knew what the heck I was doing. You know,
mm-hmm.
I knew every time from 12 years old, I dropped out of school at 12 years old in seventh grade. And you know, and my mom whipped me and beat me and cried, but I still didn't. I still wasn't interested in going to school and didn't go. And it wasn't that I couldn't handle it academically. I just thought it was more happening on the street corner than in the classroom. So that's why
I didn't want to miss anything.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the same thing today. The kids are thinking there's more things out on the street.
Absolutely. You work with a lot of young people.
I go and talk to
prisons and talk to the prisoners, and I go into the juvenile centers across the country and speak, you know. It's a little tough going into the adult prisons now and talking to men because, you know, their particular states, wherever they live, they give out so much time now, you know. They give them life without parole or, you know, federal system doesn't have a parole system. And that's not to say, you know, that the crime doesn't deserve the time. But when I was going in and out of prison, most of the country was really into rehabilitation. They were spending tens and tens of millions of dollars, you know, most states in the country, you know, on rehabilitating offenders. But now it's all about punishment, you know.
Yeah.
It's not about rehabilitation anymore. It's about punishment. So, fortunately, I came around, came along at a time when they were trying to rehabilitate you. But putting that aside, when I went to prison the last time, and which was, you know, the last time I went to prison was 1969 to 1976, nearly eight years. But when I went in that last time, it actually was a blessing in disguise. Because in 1969, everyone in my generation, that was the year that all of my buddies and friends and all the young people in the community where I lived of my generation started to dip and dab in heroin use. And it was as if God took me out of there and said, I'm going to place you somewhere for a long vacation. And by the time I returned, all of my friends, not all of them, but most of them, I'd say a good 80% of them, were already devastated by drug use, had been either killed in the drug game, died from drugs, was strung out on drugs, or doing life in prison because they committed another crime that was worthy to get a life sentence. And the neighborhood was devastated, the community was devastated in that almost eight-year period. So I was taken out of it, and I don't moralize at all that I wouldn't have succumbed like everybody else. I know for a fact I would have succumbed because although I didn't do drugs, but had I been out there at that time, I would have been just like everybody else. You know,
there were three things that would have
happened to me. I was extremely lucky. No, actually blessed. You know, more than lucky. Actually blessed that I was taken out of that environment. You know, if three things would have happened to me had I been there from that time, from 69 to 76 in the community, I'd have been dead, I'd have been strung out on drugs, or I would have been doing life in the penitentiary. You know,
I'm glad that
when I came
home,
well, so am I. So when I got out, you know, I said, you know, well, this, you know, I don't want to fall into this. So I just, you know, went to undergraduate school and then applied to Yale and was accepted at the Yale School of Drama. So I went from jail to Yale.
And you had a show called Jail to Yale, correct? Didn't you do a show? Production.
As a matter of fact, I'm going to be doing that show in Atlanta on the 23rd of May. I'm sorry, 23rd of August, but for two shows only on the 23rd, a matinee and an evening show, for the Frank Ski Children's Foundation, and as a benefit fundraiser performance for his organization. So I guess so. The folks in Atlanta will hear about it, you know, as far as promoting it soon, you know. But it's on the 23rd of August at the Woodruff Theater Center.
Let's talk a little bit about punishment. You were talking about punishment, and in the movie Comeback Dad, you're being punished, even though you're trying to make amends to your daughter, to your family. You know, in real life, it's very difficult to forgive someone who the child feels what abandoned them. You know, I just had an author on talking about fathers and sons, and fathers and daughters are just as important. What do you think you should a father should do if they abandon their daughter? How should they come back the way you did? Because you kind of got her off guard. You were stalking her boyfriend, fiance. I don't know if that's the right way.
Well, yeah, he was trying to find a way back into her life, you know, and once he discovered this fiance, he said, let me stalk him and get some assistance from him, you know. And so, and there's, you know, but in talking about the film, you know, in the heavy issues, but it's still dealt with, the movie is not depressing. There are some hilarious moments in the film, you know, but it deals with serious issues. So, but you know, we're indoctrinated to think, you know, that we're only needed for the son, and so you know, if fathers leave, you know, you got to come back, you know, for the male figure image, you know, for the son, and we don't think about, you know, the father being there for the daughter when a husband and wife split up, or a father and mother splits up, you know, you think, well, I can show up for the son, and I mean, the daughter will be all right because she's with her mom.
But that's
you know,
not the case.
So,
yeah.
No, that's not the
that's
case
not
at
the
all.
Case.
That's not the case at all, you know. And so you need
the daughter,
to be
the daughter needs that
dead.
Friend, yeah.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, the daughter looks upon the dad to find out what kind of man she wants to marry.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
if the father is a great image and a positive image for her and a protector, you know, then she knows and honest and the daughter can look at that. Then she says, okay, that's the kind of man I'm searching for, you know, the kind of man my dad is, you know. And when she sees the relationship that the father has with her mother, when two people are together anyway, you know, then
right.
And even if they're not together, if the daughter sees that the father is still respectful, you know, to the mother, and some sense of love and friendship is there, you know, I mean, people do fall in love and fall out of love, and people break up.
Right,
you know,
that happens, but you can still be respectful. Yeah, you can still be respectful.
Absolutely.
And I think that's the key thing.
You'll also find in this picture, as obviously you've seen it, but you'll also find in this picture that it's a complicated story, and so the father isn't necessarily 100% at fault.
Yes, but
you know,
can't give that away. Oh my gosh, don't give it away.
Absolutely.
Don't give it away.
I'm not giving it away. I'm just saying as far as a issue, I mean, as far as the totality of the canvas in this story. I mean, he has had his own problems, of course, you know, with alcoholism and depression and being a frustrated jazz musician and coming from a family of well-to-do people, that everybody in the family are professionals. He was the oldest one in the family, expected to be the person the most successful because he was the oldest one that was to mentor his brothers and sisters.
He was the one who
turned out to be the ne'er-do-well, you know, who couldn't get a job, who was an artist and started drinking. But you said something earlier that I think if there's a message in the film, and there are many messages, but if I think there's one prominent message in the film, it is all about letting go. Letting go of anger, letting go of anguish, letting go of bitterness, letting go of frustration, finding your way back to love. You know, finding your way back to love.
And peace, and also peace. You know, people like conflict sometimes, you know, Charles. They are drawn to conflict.
Yeah.
They create conflict because that's what is normal to them, to have conflict in their life, when they don't even know that peace is a possibility. Peace is actually uncomfortable for these people. Sometimes, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. No,
you
know? Some folks, you know, they function better, you know, in conflict, you know. But when you know you gotta, you know, you have to let that stuff go because then you won't have any peace, you know.
You can have health problems. High blood pressure. You know, you're not eating right.
Absolutely.
You're gaining weight. You're unhealthy with your partner, as Tatiana's character explained. She's, like, losing her mind and can't even love her fiancé the way she's supposed to. you know? And even your sister, Loretta. Loretta in the movie, she's all twisted up and bound up with her anger and trauma and loses her friend. Oh, my God. The scene between you and Loretta deserves a freaking Oscar. Can I – okay, listeners, these two individuals are, like, beyond Oscar-winning performance. It was only about, what, 5 minutes the scene, if that, and they you guys blew it out the water. And also – the scene when Tatiana comes visits you at your home, she doesn't really say anything.
Yes.
That scene is also one of the jewels of Comeback Dad, which is airing tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Eastern, and also 12 a.m. That is another jewel. Not a lot of words. Not a lot of words in that scene.
Right. Right.
But that's a jewel.
No words.
How did you get
hardly,
to that point?
Hardly any words.
Yeah, hardly. Any. No. Like three sentences you say, maybe. I don't even miss that. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, you know, the scene was in the film, but it wasn't necessarily, we added an element of extending the scene when she leaves. So, you know, so those lines that I said I had suggested to the director, you know, well, maybe I shouldn't say much until after she's gone, you know, and we talked about it and he said, yeah, I think that'll be great, you know. So, you know, when she walked in and like, you know, just searches the room to see how he's been living and just turns away and walks out, you know. I mean, I even felt bad. You know?
I was all happy. I thought she was like, okay, she came to talk to him. She's going to wear the earrings. She's going to do this. I mean, she let me down. I was like, damn, she didn't even say nothing. She just walked out. Like, whoa. Oh, my God. I think we have a caller. I just want to see if they have a question. Good morning, caller. Did you have a question for Mr. Charles Dutton today? You're calling from 404.
Yes, I do have a question. You know, I'm curious as to how he decided to take on this role.
Thank you so much.
Well,
what's your name?
My name is Brad. I'm calling from Atlanta.
Oh, is this Brad? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You're playing a joke. I love it. Thank you for calling in. I said, well, you know what? I said, this movie sounds familiar because I had been just watching the movie, but I said, no, that's just a coincidence. That's a coinky-dink. Okay, you're a trickster.
What?
I'm going to get you, Mr. Brad Davis.
You can't turn your back for one second.
Wonderful.
Let me just say this much while he's on the phone because he knows I'm going to get him later. Working with Brad was an absolute joy. You know, I didn't know Brad until I got until we came into the film together. And, you know, it only happens – it doesn't happen often when you're working on a film, when you work with people where you say, you know what, I've found a friend for life.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
A friend for life, you know.
Wow.
And that's the kind of guy he is, you know. And, I mean, he reminds me of a lot of older friends I have, you know, like Rocky Carroll. You know, who played Rick Joey on the Rock Show. You know, they both have the same sense of humor. You know, and so and so you know, and then you know, and then when you know, the more you hang out and relate to younger people, the younger you stay.
Definitely. But he's a young cat.
You know, so
he can't blame his youth on me.
He's got youth on you? Is that what you're saying, Brad?
No, he can't blame his youth on me.
You are a jokester, Mr. Brad James.
Charles James skipping into the second birthday.
Yeah, he is. That he is. That he definitely is.
You say he skips?
No,
wait,
he's a
can
good
he
man.
Hold the hoop? Wait, Mr. Charles, can you hula hoop? Because Brad just said you were skipping. I want to know if you can hula hoop.
Man, I tell you, it was. I didn't know it was going to be so hard working with him.
Look, you better have your chops tuned up to work with Mr. Charles Dutton now.
You've got to,
Mr. Brad James.
You know, he brings all the talent and know-how in the world, but aside from that, you got to set up extra security to keep all the people away from the set.
I know that's right. I know you speak the truth. Hallelujah. Can we get a witness up in here?
See, I know nobody else is going to tell it.
Wait, Mr. Brad James, I think you got a little fan following, too, all of the little young girls out there.
You're not too bad looking now.
You know what I'm saying?
He knows he don't want me to start
talking.
On
you. No, come on, Charles. Tell us something. Did they put a panties at him?
Oh, no.
Was it the bra? What's going on over there with Mr. Brad James?
Oh, look.
Y'all are getting on me.
I said to myself, boy, I bet when you walk down the street, the women fall out their window looking at you.
Oh, my God.
And I'm
going to
finish the interview. I'm going to get off the line, but it's good hearing from you guys, and I'll be tuning in tonight.
Oh,
hope everybody else is, too.
Yes,
yeah,
tonight at 8 p.m. On Up TV.
Okay.
Okay, he said he's going to give you a call later, Brad. I think he hung up. Oh, my God, that was hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So I can tell you had a great time. I heard it took 10 days. That's it, 10 days?
Oh, yeah. We shot it with a very, very short and intense schedule, you know. But, you know, the beauty of that was that when you get a bunch of actors, well, you know you got a big task ahead of you, and when you choose actors that are – well, you don't have any divas, you don't have any disruptive males that, you know, have attitudes or whatever, you know, male actors, mm-hmm. and, you know, you don't have female actors who are divas. You know, you just have a bunch of people who are going to do the work, and they know before
right.
they sign the contract that it's a 10-day shoot in an hour and a half movie or longer. So you know it's going to be very intense and very laborious as far as, you know, the work aspect of it. And when you sign
right,
a contract,
right.
you just go to do it. There's no sense after you agree to do it to get down there and start acting up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we had that
mm-hmm.
kind of cast, you know, and we had a ball, you know. We had a genuine ball.
I can tell.
You know,
I can tell. He called in to harass
you. Know?
You.
Yeah.
People don't do that if they don't like you. People don't call in to harass you if they don't like you. You know what I'm saying? Oh, my God. Well, I want to mention that you guys are also giving away some signed copies of the script. And I tweeted and put the link on Facebook about how people can win some signed copies of Comeback Dad. Also, I want to mention again that the show is tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Eastern, and you can check out some links that I posted, just some clips to get a little preview. But this is a serious show, a movie, but not depressing. It has lighthearted comedic moments, some wonderful, intense, you want to get your tissue box. But you also don't want to wear pants that are too tight because you're going to be laughing hard in some scenes. So, but Mr. Right. Charles Dutton, what are you working on next after this? You did this. What's next for you?
Well, you know, I just finished doing a HBO film on the life of Bessie Smith with Queen Latifah and Monique.
Oh, yes, Queen Latifah.
And
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah. And the director, the young director, Dee Rees, I was sort of her directing supervisor at Sundance Film Festival a couple of years ago, and I knew she was going to be a great director. So I was so proud when I heard she got this HBO film, and she was
mm-hmm.
the director, writer, and the director of the script. So I came in as I'm just doing a cameo, but a pivotal cameo. Because I wanted to, throw some more weight at the film insofar as her debut, you know,
yes,
getting
yes.
a stellar cast together, you know. So, but I've been more behind the camera in the last 10, 12 years, more directing and more producing and developing. And my current project that's taking up most of my time is I'm developing a miniseries on the life of Louis Armstrong. And, and there's nothing
Wonderful.
That's been done on Armstrong. Yeah, it's a shame nothing's been done on the great Louis Armstrong. So that's why I'm working with it with Quincy Jones. Quincy Jones is handling the music. I'm handling all the other creative stuff. And I finished a film last year in Philadelphia called Must Be the Music, an independent film, which will probably be out a little later this year. And you know, I've got some stuff at BET I'm developing for them, series I'm developing for BET, sort of a mystery kind of series. You know, and just I still live on the East. I mean, I don't live in L.A. I live on the East Coast, and I have a farm in Maryland. And so when I'm not
in
L.A.
I heard about that farm.
Do you do horses?
Can you ride a horse?
So yeah, I breed horses and I have cattle and I have goats and sheep and chickens and peacocks and dogs.
Oh my
gosh! So now sometimes I wake up every morning and say and look out on that farm every morning and say, you know, I know how I was feeling when I first bought this place, but what the heck was I thinking? I'm from, you know, I'm a city boy. I ain't no farmer, you
right.
know. But I've had it since 1997, and I've learned to farm and learn to do it, you know. So it's not the money pit that it used to be. You know, it used to be a money pit because I didn't know what I was doing. So it was pretty much an expensive hobby. It still is.
You
got
to talk to Pam Grier.
Expensive hobby.
You got to talk to Pam Grier, Charles.
Oh,
she's a farm gal.
No, I know. Yeah, I know Pam well, but the difference is Pam has a ranch, and I have a farm, you know, and it's a difference.
Okay,
you know, ranch is pretty much
a
horse ranch, you know, et cetera, but, you know, I grow produce as well as, you know, have cattle and horses and other kind of livestock, you know. Pam and I talked about, you know, horses for many years, so, but when something's not your real livelihood, then ultimately it becomes an expensive hobby. And so I've just begun to get out of the expensive hobby category and start to not necessarily make a big profit, but I don't lose any money anymore. You know, so
that's great.
But I love it.
That's
you know, it keeps me humble. You know, when I'm not doing what I do, I'm on the farm shoveling some kind of manure, you know. I guess when I'm in L.A., I'm still shoveling manure. But
I was about to say something like that. Well, Mr. Dutton, I don't want to keep you any longer because I know your publicist told me I only had you for a certain amount of time. But thank you so much for sharing your story about your past, but also your future. All your great projects you're working on. I can't wait for the Louis Armstrong. Definitely, I would love to have you back on to talk about that. I'd love to promote that for you on Twitter and Facebook and so on. So we'll definitely stay in touch. And watch out for your friends. You can't watch your back. You got these crazy people after you.
Oh, he knows. He knows he's going to get a call from me as soon as I hang up.
Okay. Well, you have a great weekend, okay? And I'll talk to you soon.
Right.
And good luck with the movie coming out tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Eastern, UpTV. Check it out. Also, check out their website, uptv.com, to get more information about Comeback Dad. Thank you so much, Mr. Dutton.
All right. Take care of yourself. Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thanks for having
me. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. I just got off the phone with actor extraordinaire Charles S. Dutton. He's playing in the movie Comeback Dad on UpTV.com. Check it out tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Eastern. They're also giving away copies of the script. You can go to their website to learn more about that. I also tweeted that link, signed copies of the script. And check out Loretta Devine does an amazing job Tatiana Ali, really a touching performance as Charles S. Dutton's daughter. Brad James, the trickster. He's a little bit of a trickster in the movie as well, so they probably cast him correctly. He tricked his fiance in kind of to meet her dad and try to reconnect them, so to speak, to heal their relationship. But check that out tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern. You can check me out on Twitter, at Joy Keys. You can become a fan on Facebook. Look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. And also check me out on Instagram. I'm Saturdays with Joy Keys on Instagram. You guys have a wonderful Saturday. Thank you so much for tuning in. Close to 1 million downloads. Thank you, and thank you for your support.
The odds of becoming a signed artist and having 3 number one albums? 1 in 100 million. The odds of going on to win 6 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of this performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 110. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn the signs of autism at AutismSpeaks.org. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.